list. I hope the important stuff won't be missed. So I'll tell you, and then you tell me. And we'll get on the football family. We need some apples,
bananas,
cucumbers, and dog food,
eggs, flour,
and gorgonzola. That's a type of cheese.
Horseradish, ice cream, jelly beans, and ketchup.
And don't forget the lima beans.
Oh, yeah.
Mustard.
You like that song? Were you singing along with it? Are you on your way to the grocery store? Well, we're going to help you cut your grocery bill in half. Hello, friends. Welcome to In the Market, which I guess today takes on a whole other meaning, doesn't it? I am your host, Janet Parshall. I want to see a show of hands all across the country. How many of you would like to save some money? Okay, hands up everywhere. We have the privilege of talking with two people who really know how to stretch our dollar. And boy, I tell you, did you wake up this morning and listen to the morning news, or are you going to read the paper tonight? What, do I have a funny feeling somewhere on the front page you're going to read a thing or two about the economy? Well, that's why this is going to be a very helpful program. Our conversation is going to emanate from a book entitled Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half with America's Cheapest Family. Now, you know, some people might not think that's a compliment. I don't know. Wait till you get to know my friends Steve and Annette Economides. They are, in fact, New York Times best-selling authors, internationally recognized personal finance experts, and they get asked all the time to show up to talk to all kinds of people about saving money. But I have to tell you, Steve and Annette, I want to start with how you paid off your first home in 9 years. You had an average income of just $35,000. You pay cash for your cars. You don't use a credit card ever. Really? You can do all of that stuff?
Really, you can. Really, really, you can. We just decided from day one of getting married that we would use a budget as a tool to help us manage our money and know where our money went. And at first, yes, things were tight.
Wait, I was earning big bucks. I was earning $6.50 an hour, and Annette wanted to stay home and learn to make a home.
And
whoa.
So I kept lists every day, and I worked really hard to learn how to cook and to learn how to shop, and I returned wedding presents and exchanged them for things we needed, and just we were so busy. And eventually, what started out as sort of necessity became a really fun game to play.
And what was cool is we had several people tell us when we first married that I should work two jobs and Annette should work one job and we should save every penny we earned so that we could get into a house in 3 years. And no joke, by having Annette manage the home, me working one job, using a budget, and learning to shop smart, and not just talking about groceries, but learning to shop smart. Within 3 years, we had 15% to put down on a house.
Mm.
We moved in 3 years to the day from being married, and we paid that house off in 9 years.
Wow, Steve. Okay, I was going to ask you if this was the crazy days of no income verification, no money down, but you put 15% down.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so then you did it in 9 years. Now, and I don't want to ask how much the house cost, but how does one pay any mortgage plan? You know, the bank loves to say with a smile.
Well, this was back, Janet, this was back in the early 80s,
okay.
And houses were inexpensive then, especially in our area. They've worked here, and I think a lot of places. And so, yes, they were cheaper, but, of course, so was our income. And Steve's income started increasing over those years, but we never raised our standard of living so that we started putting large chunks of money down on the house because we had no other debt, no car payments, no credit cards, nothing.
So it became a priority, and it was almost intoxicating to watch the principal balance plummet. And boy, when we made that last payment, it was a phenomenal feeling.
Mm, wow. Now, this was your first home, so...
Correct.
Yeah, I would be remiss if I didn't ask what happened to successive homes after that. Were you able to do the same sort of approach with that mortgage?
We are in our second home now, and I have a feeling we'll be here for quite a few more years. And yes, the same principles have applied for this house. It's quite a bit bigger. It's 3,500 square feet on 3/4 acre with a citrus orchard. So, and it's got lots of room for all of our kids. So same principles apply there.
And you're selling the oranges to make the mortgage payment, right?
No, we aren't. We're actually sharing our oranges with our friends.
Well, all right, here's the other thing. And I have even dived into the grocery store because I just want to get some background because I think you two are so fascinating. I want to go to the no credit card ever. How do you book a flight or purchase something online or reserve a hotel room if you don't have a credit card?
Well, it's getting a lot easier. Years ago, it was a little more difficult. But we use a debit card, and we always have enough cash to cover anything we want to pay for in our bank account. But what I used to have to do is when I go to book a rental car, I'd have to ask, do you take debit cards? Well, now most all of them do. And as a matter of fact, our debit card gets points. We just flew to Texas a few weeks ago on points we earned on our debit card. So we don't need a credit card. And when you're debt-free and you're not intending to borrow any money, you don't really care about your credit score, but our credit score is excellent, too.
Wow, all the residuals for that. That's amazing. All right, I'm going to guess that when you pay the money down, if you're debt-free, you either are in one of two positions. You have more toys than anybody else in the block, or you have really big savings accounts.
The combination of both.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing, Janet. I think I heard Dr. Dobson once say, you buy stuff you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't like.
And,
you know, the things we buy, we've got to be careful because oftentimes the things you buy, you think you own them, but they end up owning you. They take time to maintain. They take time to store, clean, whatever, use. And so we aren't living the Spartan lifestyle, but we don't want a lot of the toys.
But we are happy and we are content and we have everything we need. So to do, it's allowed us to start our own business. And so that's why we have our website, americascheapestfamily.com, and we were able to write about frugal living and start writing books because it allowed us, being in that debt-free position, allowed us to pursue some passions and some dreams that maybe we might not have been able to do if we had a boatload of debt.
What a wake-up call, Annette. That's such an important statement. I want to go back and underline it. If this were on the written page, I'd put my yellow highlighter right here. So the point is, because you handled your finances well, you managed the blessings in your life well, it created the liberty in your life to live a different kind of life of service that you might not have been able to do before had you been strapped with debt.
That's absolutely correct.
Well, that is so huge. So in other words, friends, money mismanagement somehow could eliminate the possibility to step into a ministry that the Lord has planned for our life. It kind of puts a different perspective on finances, doesn't it? All right, the book is called Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half with America's Cheapest Family. Haven't gotten to the grocery store yet, but we're going to right after this.
Going to the grocery store, our cupboards need a little more. My mom, my dad, my sister and I get in the car and start to drive.
Oh, yes. You ever stop to take a look at your budget and realize how much of it goes to the grocery store? So how would you like to cut your grocery bills in half? I love conversations like this. We all live in the real world. We're to be good stewards of our money. Here's a news flash. I know you went to work today, and you thought you made a living wage. Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. But here's what I know. I know whatever financial aspects of your life are there, you don't own a thing. You're in a management position, not an ownership position. So we have to be good stewards. And it's tough. It's tough in tough economic times. You have to eat. You have to go to the grocery store. So how do we cut our grocery bills in half? By the way, I am privileged because Thomas Nelson has given me a few books to give away to some of our callers who join us with their questions. And I have a feeling a couple of you are going to have some questions on this. 1-877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675 is our number. 1-877-LIVE-675 or janetparshall@moody.edu. janetparshall@moody.edu. Steve and Annette Ikatamidis are our guests, and they are America's Cheapest Family and proud of it. So, Steve and Annette, let me just start first before we. I love the book. It's just hands-on pragmatics. Mine is dog-eared, underlined. Love it. Just practical stuff. But let me just give some overarching ideas here. When we look at our budget, how much of it really is tied into what we buy at the grocery store?
That varies from family to family. And this is something we wrote in our first book. America's Cheapest Family gets you right on the money, is there is no one budget. There's no one-size-fits-all because our lifestyle may not fit you, and your lifestyle may not fit us. So we have to find that balance, that equilibrium of what is going to make us content. Because if I put you on a budget that says you only spend $350 a month for food, you may think, oh, my gosh, I could never survive on that, and it would last a week.
Hmm.
The truth is you have to find that balance. So the average family of four in America is spending somewhere between $800 and $1,000 a month on food, about $200 a person. We're spending between $50 and $60 a person on food. And we're not skimping. This is just by applying the principles we've got in the book. We lay out the planning, the shopping, the cooking tools that you use. We lay out a whole plethora of items that you can use or strategies you can use to save money. And all of those things combined for us help us cut our grocery bill way down.
Mm-hmm. And we're so excited about our new grocery book because the planning chapter has 5 steps for planning. The shopping chapter has 17 strategies for saving money at the grocery store. The cooking chapter has 10 strategies. And so there is no way that anybody will read that book and not find something they can apply. There's something for everybody in our book.
Annette, you have 5 children. Just because I know somebody's probably thinking this, you do eat 3 times a day, right?
We certainly do.
Actually, some of the kids eat about 6 times a day.
We've actually had people ask us if we live on ramen noodle soup, and I thought, no way. We eat things like tacos and spaghetti and meatballs and shepherd's pie and chicken cashew. And
we're having beef brisket with mustard and onions tonight.
Yeah, we have lasagna and all kinds of things. Anything you can get at a restaurant, I cook at my house.
Oh, good. And I'm doing that because I want people to understand that Stephen and Ed are real people living in the real world and have to make their dollar stretch just like the rest of us.
Well, take it one step further, Janet. See, when we were first married, you know, I told you Annette wanted to stay home and learn how to keep our house.
Yes.
She knew how to cook 2 things. She knew how to boil water and scramble eggs. And now, because she made it her job and she wanted to be excellent at it, she's got well over 100 meals she can prepare for dinner. We don't have to repeat. She plans like just an amazing menu every week.
But as an encouragement, even if there's somebody out there and they haven't a clue where to start and what to do, they can still, there's simple, simple menus in our book that they can start doing this week to feed their family really delicious stuff. You don't have to be a Rachel Ray. You don't have to be a gourmet chef. There's some very simple things that you can put together that are very delicious.
Mm, excellent. And let me say also that the book is not only filled with all the pragmatics that you just both mentioned, but it's really about getting us to change our attitude, our philosophy, and our approach toward money, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Because if we're trying to live somebody else's lifestyle or emulate, you know, the lifestyles of the rich and famous, we're going to fall flat on our faces. We're going to spend too much. We're not going to be happy. And our goal is to help you find that balance in life so that you've got the food you need, you've got the time with family that you need. And we have a whole chapter dedicated to the importance of eating meals together. And I don't care if you have 5 kids, 2 kids, or you're an empty nester. Spending time at mealtime is so important for connecting, for refreshing, and for just having a life.
But the focus of the Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half book is not necessarily attitudes. It's hundreds of practical ways that you can save money with groceries and save time with groceries.
Mm-hmm.
Because we realize that not everybody can be dedicated to their home like I am, although that's less and less as our business gets busier. But really, we understand that there's a working person out there. We understand there's a single person. We understand there's an empty nester. We understand all those things, and there's tips in our book for all of them.
Excellent. On that note, friends, let me go to the phones. Again, our number, 1-877-LIVE-675. And as I guessed, we have a whole lot of people who want to talk to Steve and Annette. Why? Because we all got to eat, got to go to the grocery store, and want to stretch that dollar. Or, as Steve and Annette put it, cut our grocery bills in half. Vicki, let's start with you in Texas. Thanks for stopping by. Your comment or question, please.
I would like to know if what they do, if it's coupons, if they use coupons to cut down their grocery bill, if they go to stores that double and triples versus Walmart, or did they go to Sam's, do they buy in bulk? My grocery bill for just 3 people, for my mom, my husband, and myself, is ridiculous.
That's a great question.
The answer is yes.
No. let me just say, we do use coupons, but that is not the only strategy for saving money on groceries. As a matter of fact, you know, out of an entire book, there's 12 chapters. Only one chapter deals with coupons, and it's not the biggest chapter in the book. So, yes, you can save money with coupons, but no, that isn't our main strategy. And we do talk a little bit about warehouse clubs. I do want to touch on that. Warehouse clubs can be very deceiving. They give you the air of thinking that you're saving a whole lot of money, when oftentimes using the food ads and shopping the sales at grocery stores will beat the pants off of the warehouse club.
We've got a table in the shopping chapter where we compare about 7 items between grocery store sale prices and warehouse club prices, and you can save between 17 and about 40% by shopping at the grocery store as opposed to the warehouse club.
Well, and not only that, but you end up buying bulk, you buy things you don't want, so all those little traps, it seems to me, are inherent in that as well. You know, Annette, I want to go to this coupon question. Vicki, I'm so glad you asked it, and stay with us because I want to get your information, and we'll give you a copy of Cut Your Grocery Bills in Half. Some of us live in a world where we don't have the time to sit down and cut coupons. So how much time investment before we even get to the grocery store are we going to have to do?
Well, there's times I don't even use coupons, and on the months when I shop and I don't use coupons, I would say that a simple dinner menu could take 15 minutes to a half an hour to make. I mean, the first time I had to do it, it took all day because I didn't have a recipe repertoire built up yet. So when you're first learning, you have to be patient, and you have to give yourself some time.
We're talking baby steps. Mm-hmm. And what Annette's talking about is the second chapter in our book. It's the planning chapter. And we go through all the steps we take to plan a month's worth of grocery shopping because we only shop once a month.
Things like taking stock of what you already have in your house, and researching and listing sale items from the weekly food ads, listing all the different events that you're going to be involved in so you know what kind of meals to cook on what days, and then actually selecting meals, a rotation of meals, and then, of course, using your shopping list. And we have a free downloadable shopping list on our website at americascheapestfamily.com where people can go and print out an awesome shopping list.
Excellent. We have so many people who want to visit with you. Let me take a break. The book is called Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half with America's Cheapest Family. Steve and Annette's Economy This. More after this.
So, Mommy, Daddy, please come and take me for a grocery trip. So, Mommy, Daddy, please come and take me for a grocery trip.
Well, I'm going to the store, I'm going to the store, I'm going to the corner grocery store. I'm going to the store, I'm going to the store, I'm going to the grocery store.
Oh, yeah, that's where we're going this hour. And when you get there, we're going to help you cut your grocery bill in half with Steve and Annette Economy This. They have written a marvelous book about how to stretch your dollar, and we're taking your calls and comments on the subject as well. 1-877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675. And we've got a lot of people online. Jason, I'm going to welcome you next. You join us from Chicago. Your question, please, for our guests.
My question is, I was wondering how they addressed nutrition for special diets and portion control in their book, because we're all really focused on not only saving money, but also being healthy.
Good question, Jason. Friends.
Very good question, Jason. We eat very, very healthy, and we do address some of those very specific things. We even have a section on organic foods. We eat tons of fruits and vegetables at our house. That's our major snack over here. And you can save a ton of money at the grocery store if you purchase fruits and vegetables that are in season. So right now at the grocery stores, at least here in Arizona, the things that are on sale are things like green peppers and eggplants, and potatoes are coming into season. Apples are just starting their season. Grapes, pears.
So what she's saying is, by checking the ads and buying produce in season, you can save between 20 and 40% on your produce. And that's a huge savings. You know, another option is, I know in some parts of the country it's getting a little colder now, but growing a garden, grow stuff indoors. You can do earth boxes and things like that. and grow your own food. It's organic and it's healthy.
But Jason, as far as portion control goes, you know, portion control is really up to you. I cook enough to feed an army, but none of us are 300 pounds. So, you know, you just need to portion control yourself. But there's plenty of food to be cooked throughout our book. So you're not going to be starving. You're not going to be eating at a French restaurant where they gave you little chicken wings or something like that.
Jason, we're going to give you a copy of this great book, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half, and I thank you so much for being with us. We're going to move to Louise now, who joins us from Ohio. Louise, thanks for stopping by, and we'd very much like to hear your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is that when you're shopping, are you shopping according to planning your meals for a week? Or, you know, for that week, or you just, most times I just shop random, and I'm spending a lot of money, so I just need some ideas in that regard.
Okay, Louise, first off, you are normal. But we're going to change the normal, because, you know, what retailers want you to do is they want you to go in the store without a plan, so you live out their plan. And their plan for you is to put 60% more in your cart than you planned on putting in. There's a study we quote in the book where they research it, and 60% of the items you put in the cart are impulse buys. If you go in with a list, you're going to cut that way down. And if you go to the store less often, you're going to cut it down even more.
So there's nothing wrong with stocking up on sale items, but you have to have a plan to utilize those sale items so that you're feeding your family and yourself some of the best food for the least price.
How often would you go on a vacation, a driving vacation, and not look at a map first? And have a plan of what route you're going to take.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about.
Wow.
It takes a little bit of time, but you're going to get to your destination much safer and much quicker. And that's the same thing with grocery shopping.
So at this point in life, I have enough recipes and enough menu planning skills that we only have to shop once a month, a major shopping once a month. We go once every 2 weeks for produce because we're eating so much of that. But you know, I don't expect everybody to start where I am right now. It takes a long time to become a black belt, and that's what I consider myself to be.
With a white apron. I get it.
That would be a hilarious illustration, actually.
But we are in the midst of taking a poll on our website, americascheapestfamily.com, to see how many times people are going to the store each week.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the frugal people that come to our website say they're going about 1.5 times, almost 2 times a week. The national poll said people are going 2 to 4 times a week.
Ooh. Wow.
So, you know, you cut it down to one time, you cut down your impulse buys, you save money. One person wrote in, and we quote them in the book, said they stopped going to the store multiple times a week, made a commitment to go just once no matter what, plan their shopping trip, and they cut their grocery bill in half just doing that.
Wow. Louise, we're going to give you a copy of Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. Thanks so much for stopping by. We'll take a break and continue shopping.
Can you please make me a loaf of bread? I'd like a fresh-baked apple pie, or make that cherry instead. I'll push the cart across the aisle, we'll buy some milk and cream. I'm so happy I'm with Mom at the grocery.
And we're teaching you how to cut those grocery bills in half with America's Cheapest Family, Steve and Annette Economides. Their book is called Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. Just loaded. Oh, I'm telling you, wait till you get your copy loaded with recipes. Very pragmatic way to stretch your budget. Two ways to communicate. 1-877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675, or Janet Parshall at moody.edu. Janet Parshall at moody.edu. I want to do two emails. Linda, I'm going to start with yours first. Hi, you all. Do I have to plan my menus every week to save money, or can I just fix what I'm in the mood for as I do now?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I'll tell you, living by your feelings is kind of dangerous because we're really at the mercy of emotions, and it's just not a good place to be. So it's really not as hard as you think it is, Linda. I would really say give it a try, and I promise you if you give it a try for about a month, 4 weeks, you'll never go back.
But you know what's cool? is Annette has a menu plan. She plans out a month in advance. And so with that plan, and we've got, we do once a month cooking, which we cover in the cooking chapter of our book, but you can start easier with once a week. But what she does is if she doesn't feel like eating what she has planned, she can move things around on the menu.
Hmm.
So there is a little bit of latitude for your feeling.
But there's, yeah, but there's a lot of meals that are prepared, and I know that if I want to change what I've got on the schedule for the night, I know that I have all the components in my house for that meal if I switch it.
Mm, that's neat. Well, Esther has a great question. She emailed us from Spokane, Washington. She said, how do you get your spouse involved with budgeting?
Oh, boy. Arm wrestling works really good.
Walkie-talkies work great, too, Esther. That's how I got Steve to do the grocery store with me.
You know, really, as far as budgeting is concerned, wow.
That's a whole other topic for a whole other day.
That's tough. But here, the thing is, I would say pray. And I think you got to start with small successes. And once the other spouse sees successes of waiting, of being patient, of paying cash for something, of staying within his means and still getting what he wants, it becomes addictive.
But Crown Financial Ministries, Crown Financial,
Crown.org.
Crown.org has volunteer counselors all over the nation, and sometimes you do actually need to sit with a third party to talk about some issues to work through.
Because they're better at arm wrestling than you.
Yeah. Wow, thank you for that. And Josh, I'm going to welcome you into our discussion. You join us from Illinois as well. I think your question follows perfectly on the heels of Esther's email. So I welcome you and your question.
Yeah. First of all, I love your show. Thank you so much for the great programming. It was actually sort of in the same vein. I feel like a lot of it was answered, but it's about sort of conflict. It's not bad, but we're newlyweds, and you know, it seems like whenever we have a disagreement or like sort of a small fight about stuff, it always revolves around money, sometimes food. It always revolves around the budget in some way. And any practical tips or advice? I heard your stuff from Crown sounds really good, but do you guys have any insight to
money is the number one cause of divorce, either number one or number two in our country. And so I would say that it is something you should be concerned about and something you should give every effort to try to work through.
You know, we got started on this trek of frugality because our church required us to go through a marriage prep class. And in the marriage prep class, we read a book by Larry Burkett called Your Finances in Changing Times.
Hmm.
And we've taken his principles in our first book, America's Cheapest Family Gets You Right on the Money, and we've expanded that. And that budget chapter, Josh, would probably get you focused. But the budgeting is the single most powerful tool you can use. And if you're newly married, I promise you, if you start budgeting and working together, you won't have fights over money because you'll have an objective tool that you look at and you say, can we go out to dinner tonight? Well, let's look at our recreation budget. We've got $30. Yeah, we can go out.
But the other thing that really helps is reading books. There's lots and lots of awesome books out there on money, and we've got a bookstore on our website. You don't necessarily have to buy them through our website, but at least it's a list of wonderful reviews where you can get suggestions of things to read. And sometimes, you know, as a spouse, we can't be the one to try to convince our mate of something, whereas if they'll read books, somebody else will be speaking to him.
Mm. Josh, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it. So let me go to Tennessee where Chris joins us. Chris, welcome in your question now, please.
Thank you very much. Yeah. You got anything in your book about how to buy and cook for picky eating children?
That's a good question.
As a matter of fact, we do. And we have dealt with that issue, and I will say that
we even deal with picky eating spouses.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we started when our kids were very young, and obviously it's easier when your kids are young, but there is a wonderful strategy out there. It's called make a great dessert and institute the three-bite rule. And the three-bite rule is you got to eat three bites of whatever mom cooks. And if you don't want to eat, that's fine. There really are very few children in America that are starving, so especially in middle class America. So have a great dessert, do a bribe, and hang in there, and don't be a short order cook.
Hmm.
Oh, one more thing, Chris, you have to be an example. I have to eat beets. Okay, I hate beets. They taste like dirt. I don't like them, but because we instituted the three-bite rule and the kids were watching, you got to be the example.
And sometimes I forget, and I'm dishing out beets, and he looks at me and goes, easy, honey, easy. And I'm like, oh, yeah, the three-bite rule. Here you go.
Well, you know, you've referenced your kids, and I'm so glad you had. I said before you have five children. Are you teaching them the principles now of good budgeting? Because all three of us, I'm sure, and our friends listening would be in agreement that we put our kids through school, and overwhelmingly, most of our kids don't have a clue. We don't teach them the basics of finance, the basics of budgeting, and then they graduate, throw that tassel to the other side of their cap, and then it's like, have a good life, and by the way, I hope you learn how to manage money when you get there.
No, that's not our kids. We have five kids ranging in age from 16 to 27, and none of them have school loans. All of them have paid cash. Well, the older ones have paid cash for cars. Our daughter has never worked more than a part-time job, and she has $20,000 to $30,000 in the bank right now.
Mm. So our
kids definitely embrace what we live. And as a matter of fact, I got to tell you the cutest story. My son, he's now 27, but when he was 12 years old, he was with my mom, who was Nana, and he said, Nana, I got to ask you a question. Can you divorce a wife if she doesn't use coupons?
And we're waiting for the answer, Annette.
And my mother, in great wisdom, said, oh, honey, don't worry about that. I'm sure anybody that you marry is going to use a coupon.
So that tells me that you've taught them the art of using coupons as well.
Yes, we have.
Wow, excellent. 1-877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675. And let me go to Lori, who joins us from Michigan. Lori, thank you. Your comment, your question for Steve and Annette, please.
Okay, first of all, thank you for your program. I listen to it a good deal. I like it.
Thank you.
Mine is not so much a question as it is a suggestion. To check the reduced racks for the produce at the grocery store and any of the other reduced racks for other items, too. I do that myself, especially with produce, and it does cut a lot of money out of your grocery spending.
That is an excellent strategy.
Awesome.
And one of our favorite things to do is get those spotted bananas and make banana bread.
Or donuts that are marked out at the end of the day. Those are really good, too.
Wow. All right. You know, I'm hop-skipping and jumping because there's so much in the book. Let me, if I can, ask about the chapter that you wrote about going out to eat and doing it for less. Any good guidance there for us?
Well, we use coupons for a lot of things. And so, like on date nights when Steve and I go out, our mailboxes are full of two-for-ones at this point. So we order water, and we find a restaurant that's offering a two-for-one coupon, and we go there. And then quite often we'll buy the entertainment book, and we'll go to a theater or something where there's also a two-for-one coupon. And so we don't slack on our date nights. We have a really fun time.
We went out one time, and they had an early bird special at this hotel resort restaurant right on a golf course. The sun was setting. And the special was not only did we get two for one, but we got a free dessert bar. Oh, man, that was like heaven.
Oh, my goodness. 1-877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675. And let me welcome Becky. Becky joins us from Washington State. Becky, thank you for being with us. Your question, please.
I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have a two and a half now, and a one-year-old. And we kind of live out in the boonies, and we have one grocery store, the other one closed, so I'm kind of limited. And I'm always catching myself going out about 2 to 3 times a week, either for milk or something I forgot. And I'm constantly, oh, I could get this or I could get that. And my husband called me on it and saw the bank statement and said, hey, you're going to the grocery store like 2 or 3 times a week. And I don't know, I've tried planning my menu and trying to do that to try to stay away from the grocery store, and it just, I don't know how to get away from that by either buying bulk, and I always forget I have what I, you know, put away, or I'm just lost on what to do.
Yeah.
It's almost like a routine. We go to this, maybe my daughter's like, are we going to go to the store today? So... I don't know, and I tried to use coupons, and they don't have coupons, so...
You've got a very important job to do. You're raising two young kids. Don't beat yourself up right now. You got to take a baby step, and the baby step would be take some time to figure out what you're going to do for 3 or 4 days, and don't go to the store except once. You've got to plan. And since you're in a small town, a lot of times your pricing is going to be really high. But if there's a big town, you know, within an hour or so of you, if you can get to that larger town where prices are going to be better once a month and stock up on those kind of items that you can store, that's going to cut your bill. But you got to do some planning. But you don't have time with two small kids to spend hours doing coupons.
Yeah.
You've got to shop a little smarter.
And you really don't have time to be going to the grocery store 2 and 3 times a week. The big thing is you've got to make a rule that says, I am not going to the grocery store unless I inventory what I already have in the house.
Mm.
You cannot walk out of your house to go shop unless you already know what you already have in your house. And I would encourage you to drink less milk. I know that may sound crazy, but milk can also be frozen. I don't know if you have a freezer or not, but we talk about that in our tools chapter. A freezer is like a vault, really, a bank vault, and it will save you tons of money. So if you don't have a freezer, you probably need to think about getting one.
Right. We also talk about in that same chapter how to buy used appliances smarter, because we very rarely buy new ones, but we buy 1 or 2 or 3 year old appliances and get a phenomenal deal. We tell you how to find out exactly how old they are and where to buy them. It's incredible. You can get super deals.
Can I go back to something that it's a pragmatic in Becky's world, and that is the non-food items on our grocery bill? And I'm thinking in Becky's situation, she's got to have baby shampoo, she's got to have diapers, she's got to have baby wipes. That's not food, but boy, that weighs down on the budget as well. Have you got any insight on that, particularly in that area?
I sure do. You've got to find the best deal for those, and the grocery store may not be the best deal for those. Like Steve said, it may be a store that's an hour away. It may be a Walmart or a Target or a Dollar Tree or a 99-cent store. You've got to figure out where the best deal is, and then it's a math calculation. And even if you weren't really good at math, this is what you call simple math. This is multiplying, dividing, adding, and subtracting. You've got to figure out how many diapers you use a day, how many you need in a week, how many you need in a month, and then you need to stock up.
But let's go even more radical. If you're having trouble making ends meet and you're borrowing money or using credit cards to pay for your necessities, you've got to look at things and say, maybe disposable diapers are a luxury.
Mm.
And I know that sounds harsh, but we did cloth diapers for years, and cloth diapers are a lot easier now with Velcro and made out of different materials than they were years ago.
Yeah.
Cloth diapers may be a little bigger investment up front, but if you calculate out what diapers are going to cost you, you're going to save a ton using cloth diapers.
But there's even websites out there to show you how to make your own diaper.
Wow. Let me take a break. We'll be right back. Economy This are with us. They are America's cheapest family and proud of it. They've got a great book out called Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. And if you've been with us during the course of our conversation, you know that this book is loaded with recipes and suggestions for grocery shopping and very, very strong pragmatics, as we like to say, to help you to, well, I'm going to borrow a verse out of Scripture. It's perfect. Look well to the ways of our household. And that's really what this is all about. How do we, in our position as managers, and Larry Burkett was often known to say this, we're managers, not owners of our money. So we need to take the blessings we've been given, and how do we make the most out of our economic situation, and there are marvelously practical ways to do it. Stephen Annette, I was thinking, and every line's lit, and I'm going to go back to the phones in just 1 second, I promise, but I want to talk about the psychology of grocery stores. I've interviewed people in the past who talk about there are people who professionally place products and where things are at eye level, that sometimes they even have different devices behind the shelves that will give you a fragrance of something to make you a little more hungry, that the cheaper items are often at the bottom so your eye doesn't naturally go there, that even the music is keyed, to a specific time of day so that it matches the general shopper during that particular time period. I mean, I never realized there was such an art to trying to get us to buy groceries.
They're trying to squeeze every penny of profit out of every square inch. They even do it when they ask you to give your coins into this, the Coinstar thing. They're making 8% on that money. But they're smart.
But grocery stores, remember, grocery stores don't have a huge markup like a clothing store would or a hobby store would. The margin of markup at a grocery store is very slim. That's why they work really hard. They have to compete really hard to get you in there to spend your dollars.
But this goes back to you've got to know their strategy, and their strategy is to get you to walk out with more things. That's why the impulse buy rate at the checkout is way higher, and they put their gum and their candy and their magazines and all that, which you should cover your eyes when you look at those magazines. But
yes.
That's why they put that stuff there.
Only for men, dear. Only for men.
They're playing on the impulse buys. I did, we quote a job that I used to be in advertising, and I used to do packaging for grocery stores and coupons. And we talk about one promotion we did called Pasta Tonight, where we had this confusing set of coupons. We set up a huge display. It ran in military bases all over the world. And sales went up 21%, but there was no discount pricing because we made it easy for people to pick up stuff on impulse.
Because all the components for one meal were in one place.
Whoa. Of course. So it's ease. Here's the other thing. I hear that it's a good rule never to go grocery shopping when you're hungry because you'll end up buying more.
Absolutely.
Cheetos
are terrible. We don't eat them, but if I go there hungry, it's terrible.
So there's some very practical ways to be able to do this. You said also, and then I want to go back to this, you talked about shopping big time once a month except for the couple of times you go to get the produce because you go through a lot of fruits and vegetables. Do you literally then plan your meals now 1 month at a time?
Correct, I do. I have 100 meals listed on my repertoire of menus. So I could basically go 3 months without repeating a meal, but I'm not going to do that because our family members have favorites.
And we understand that most families aren't going to start that way. Start with 1 week. One trip to the store once a week, and if you can do that, then you go to 2 times a month, and then you go a little more. And once you start doing it, and that's the way we started, you'll be amazed at how much you save, how much more time you have to spend with your family.
And I've been telling people, you know what, if you really aren't planning any of your grocery stuff, I guarantee you that you are spending more time feeding your family than I am.
Wow. What a fabulous hour. So many people still online. I know you're interested in the book, so can I get you to go to InTheMarket with Janet Parshall.org? You know how this works. We just make it easy for you. If you've forgotten the names of websites, on the right-hand side, there you're going to see the book, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. You can click on through to learn how you can get your copy. You'll also learn more about Steve and Annette, and you'll be able to click on through to their website, where, as you've heard already, there's all kinds of resources waiting for you. I hope this has been helpful. And believe it or not, this is very biblical, because in our position as managers, the mandate is to do what Scripture tells us. Look well to the ways of our household, stretching our grocery dollars, cutting them in half. I hope it's been practical and helpful. Thanks, friends. We'll see you next time on the next edition of In the Market.
We're walking to grocery store.